the Power Trip After Party Podcast on iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the Power Trip After Party Podcast, special edition of the After Party today. Corey Cove talked with his favorite band, 311's bass player, Peanut, and here is how it sounded.
You like my tweet the other day, and I know it's probably something you deal with all the time, but it's trippy to me that at 41, I have the ability to access you via social media. When I was falling in love with your band 25 years ago, I probably would have constantly embarrassed myself reaching out to you guys on social media, but I assume you still get that, right, from teenagers or 40-year-olds that are just bombarding you on social media?
I mean, if someone's got something to say or something to share or accolades to rain down upon me, if that's the, you know, whatever on the menu of the day, yeah, I'm easily reached and I'm socially active. Yeah, it would have been great to have had so much access to the fans when we were coming up and young and had more energy. But what we did was to make connections beyond just playing our asses off on stage, which I think we still do, was after the shows, we would meet tons and tons of fans. You know, we would go outside of the buses and shake hands and sign autographs and make that connection. And it was just as important for us as we were getting used to this touring life as it was to, like, building up the wave that we're still riding nowadays.
Right. And you know what's kind of cool about the five guys in the band, Peanut, is you and Nick are the ones that are kind of active on social media. You guys do almost all of the interviews. The other three, right, Chad and Essay and Tim, kind of stay quiet. They kind of stay in the background. So the band itself kind of has this weird balance of you and Nick are the access to the window to the band. And the other three have this, like, little air of mystery to them. I think it's kind of cool how it's kind of split almost half and half.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And Essay, he's like the gray area in between. It's his, like, Instagram posts are like 1,000-word, stream of conscious, sometimes nonsense, just meanderings that are, you know, works of art unto themselves. So yeah, he keeps it mysterious. And I know Chad and Tim, I've heard them talk about it, looking up to the idea, like, the Prince didn't do interviews, and that keep that mystery around is an important factor in art. So, you know, I respect their want to have space.
For sure. Well, first of all, welcome back to the road. I know you guys are a band that loves to stay on the road as long as possible. You guys have been for 30 years. You are here in the Twin Cities on Sunday. You're at the Ledge near St. Cloud, and that's a brand new venue. You're one of the first handful of bands to come through. What does that mean to you as a band when you guys play not only a brand new venue, but a venue that you've never played before? Do you get excited about that stuff still?
Yeah. It's always nice to feel, you know, smell the new gig smells as opposed to the old gig smells that we can all conjure from our memory of shows. And yeah, then when you come back, be like, oh yeah, we were one of the first bands here, as you see the patina go on the gigs from all the people. And, you know, speaking of access, you know, like the physical access to a specific spot, you know, it's pretty important. I think people leave their experiential imprints on whatever place, you know, they gather at. So for there to be a new place like that, it's important for the right bands to, you know, show up and leave a good imprint.
Yeah. Peanut, I saw that Dave Matthews and his band had a couple of guys that had to tap out because of COVID, some kind of protocol. I don't know if they actually had COVID, but I believe they just came in contact with somebody or something. And so they had a couple of guys kind of fill in. I've never heard of a 311 show where you guys didn't play as a five-man group. What's the COVID plan here now that you guys are back on the road? If one of you gets sick or if one of you comes in contact with somebody that has COVID, what's the plan for this tour?
Yeah, you know, that's it's something we'll deal with when and if it does or doesn't come up. I think we're doing the just like, you know, the hand over the eyes kind of like, we don't want to even think about it kind of point of view, but we're testing and, you know, we're vaccinated and we're keeping it as safe as we can. And we feel for the bands that have to take breaks And I don't know, I mean, even more, you know, whatever, along the same lines as how strange all this is, how do you replace Carter and Fonz on the Dave Matthews Band rhythm section? That is one of the baddest rhythm sections ever. Certainly in the era that we live in, that is an irreplaceable duo of rhythmic geniuses. That the opening band figured out some songs and played while, you know, on Dave Matthews' set. That's pretty amazing. So, and pretty lots of nerve, as I watch my words.
Yeah. Well, speaking of just touring in general and us getting older, I saw on social media a couple of days ago your boy turned 11, right? Falcon turned 11.
Yeah, Falcon turned 11 on September 3rd.
What's a Peanut-like tour, right, as opposed to like 94, 95, 96, if you go back to like Grassroots and Blue Album kind of era, versus, you know, Peanut now with an 11-year-old son? Is life just different? Is touring different? Is being in 311 just super different now than it was 25 years ago?
I mean, being in the band is the same. You know, we do the same exercises and combinations of thought processes to make it all happen. And we have a great crew and management kicking ass, and all those things that make it happen really haven't changed at all. You know, if anything, we've built upon what we've done, but yeah, now it feels so much different. You know, now, you know, back then I met their mom, you know, I met their mom in 93, and yeah, like knowing that they're thinking about me and then thinking about them and knowing how much I'm missing when I'm gone for a couple of months is pretty, it can be soul crushing in a way.
Yeah.
But we have access to each other 24 hours, 7 days a week. So, it's better in that way. Like, I think we're really lucky. You know, we got the spot right at the like last good era of MTV. We got our videos on there. We got to use that wave of cable TV addicted teens and music junkies to ride this wave of CD sales and the end of tape and all these things. Also with the emerging field of internet activity, and then it turns into social media, like we were saying, and now we can freely have video chats with our people in this modern age. It's all pretty amazing how it's all worked, and we've pivoted thousands of times to make it easy, you know, emotionally, like what we're talking about, and then also just physically, like, you know, it's just we're gonna stay in nice places, and we're gonna take care of ourselves, and we're gonna make touring as fun as possible, so we keep doing it as much as possible.
Yeah, and speaking of your family, clearly you got to see a lot of them during COVID the last year and change when you guys were mostly off the road. But I'll tell you what, Peanut, one thing that I thought would happen more just in music in general is I thought, all right, all these bands are going to be stuck at home for, we didn't know, right, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. I thought we would see just a wave of new albums come out. And there have been some, but I'm a little floored that there wasn't more. Maybe people were just tentative. What was the plan, like, when you guys knew that this was not a 2 week thing, that COVID was going to last a while? When did you guys start strategizing for new music, and in terms of a timeline, how you were going to produce it, where you were going to produce it? Just what's the COVID new music plan for 311?
COVID new music plan for 311 is, you know, it was really just how to recreate the live show without touring, you know, and then doing the streams. We streamed our first six albums in a every other month kind of format. And that was really the first thing that we thought of. It was, you know, we wanted to play, and writing is just so complicated when you're not together. And we had planned on this huge 30th year anniversary tour that I think that's really all we were, you know, truly thinking about, was just playing the songs that we already have in the songbook and waiting to write as things kind of get back to normal. So that was really more on our mind as things changed.
Right on. When you come out with a new album, how soon into a tour do you realize or are confident that a song can play well live?
Well, the younger version of us, that's an awesome question, by the way. The younger version of us would play songs that no one has ever heard before. You can do a YouTube search for 311-94. And if you do a 311-94 Misdirected Hostility search on YouTube, you'll come up with a show that we did in Texas that precedes the third album by, you know, probably half a year, where we're playing one of the songs off of it, and it totally destroys. You know, we're playing a little place that we can manage, and between the five of us and our capable arms, we can, you know, hold an audience in a certain way. And certainly with the excitement and energy of youth, there's this amazing video out there that, yeah, we would do that every once in a while. But we write songs for the stage. You know, we plan on airing them out live. So we'll have a handful of songs that we know in our heads are going to be good for the stage, even in the earliest part of the writing process. And certainly after mixing and mastering and all that has been done.
Sure. All right. I'm a absolute fanboy of your band. I've seen you guys over 50 times. I'm seeing you on Sunday in St. Cloud. I'm going to take my girls. I have two daughters and my wife, but my wife's seen you a handful of times. But I'm taking my daughters to see you guys at Red Rocks in about a month. It'll be my second time seeing you guys at Red Rocks. So I've seen, again, 50 shows, right? I'm a set list geek. I follow 311 set lists on Twitter as well, because I'm always checking in to see what you guys play. I asked Nick, I don't know, a year or two ago when I had a chance to talk to him, if there were any songs that that 311 had kind of half unofficially retired. And the first one, he answered quickly, by the way, too. He said You Get Worked was basically the one that he's like, I don't think you're going to probably ever see that song again. He said I think it was on one of the cruises. He said it didn't quite work, and he was going to kind of put it in the can and move on. Are there songs off the top of your head that you think that 311 has probably played for the last time or close to the last time?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's that idea of that, you know, whatever emotion or, you know, however you want to blockade certain songs. I mean, I thought for sure you were going to say Slinky. Nick was so quick to answer, because we played that, you know, every night when we were coming up, and that was a lot of shows in a small group of people within the Omaha world. So, you know, that song's kind of been retired, but we'll still play it at a 311 day because people want to hear it, you know. And I think the same is true for You Get Worked. And we played it on one of the streams, and what I remember from that song, and the reason why I thought he was going to say he retired it, was we rehearsed it one time, you know, years and years ago, 7-8 years ago, and we all just started kind of cracking up laughing after we played it, because of the whatever general ridiculousness of the song, and we all felt it in the same way, and we were like, yeah, I don't think we're going to play that anymore. So, yeah, you'll mention that, but it'll still happen. We love playing our songs, even the silly, goofy ones.
But that's the beauty of having a 30-year catalog and 13 albums, right? Is that some of those are from your youth. I mean, that song's, 20 years old almost, right? So it's it's kind of fun to go back and look at it as a yearbook and just go, all right, maybe that wasn't our best work, but we still have a place in our heart for that, right? But do you have a song or songs, if there's two or three off the top of your head, that if your career ended today, you could say those are the two or three 311 songs I'm the most proud of?
Yeah, and it would change from time to time for, you know, however I'm feeling at the moment. But yeah, there's definitely, I mean, the whole of the Transistor album, given the fact that we had so much success on the album previous to that, and it was so tight, and it was like a rock album, the fact that we, you know, made the decision to make a more experimental dub influenced album on the heels of something so successful is always like a feather in our hat for me, kind of like we're not going to be a part of the machine we're gonna be in our own lane, making our own mistakes, and you know, making silly songs if we want to, and not having to really worry about it because no one can take us down because we've got so much support from our fans who want us to experiment and not stay the same.
Yeah, well,
so, yeah, it would be like the album at this point. Be my version of answering this question.
Sure. So, well, speaking of mistakes, I'm not trying to dwell on the mistakes because obviously I know that's, you guys like to focus on the positive thing. That's the thing that your fan base takes away from most of your music. But one thing that I think that almost everybody in the band at some point has either said on radio, TV, or in print is that that you guys individually feel like you're kind of horrible at picking singles, that your track record at guessing what the masses want has just historically not been good. And you just mentioned Transistor. You know, Beautiful Disaster, I think now 24, I think, years later, right? That was 97. 24 years later. I would assume you could go back and say that was the signature song on Transistor, but I believe it was the third single, right? Because Transistor was first. I think Prisoner was second, maybe. I don't remember exactly. I think it was second.
That sounds right.
But my point is how many songs off the top of your head could you go back and say, like, man, if we could have that album over, I wish, you know, blank would have been single one instead of so-and-so. Like, do you think that's happened more often than not, where you guys just picked the wrong song?
Well, I mean, even within our history of picking the wrong song, the fact that we were allowed to have three singles in this one specific era, that, you know, in our third album and, you know, even to the fifth album, we're just exploring the audience, and we're so, you know, whatever, schizophrenic about what ideas do work rhythmically and melodically and philosophically, that it's really hard for us to kind of pin down what we think people will want. And we know what we like about the band, so we'll kind of put that foot forward. And I think that's something that you can never really regret, is if you're feeling something, especially if it's based around a piece of art and it's a collective thing, you know, you've got to kind of go with your gut. And the Transistor single choice was, I think, a great idea, even if it wasn't like ever going to be big on radio. It was like this stamp that, you know, here's this other sound that these other people are making. It's kind of like putting your flag in the sand, and it doesn't have to be a hit for it to have impact. So,
sure.
But yeah, the chance that the reality that it took a while for us to find the right single and for our audience to find us was just like a testament to the patience of the industry in that time, where the record label and the radio stations would be like, yeah, sure, you're here. We'll support your third single, you know, because that does not happen now.
No, that's great.
It's one and done.
All right, a couple of final geeky touring questions or hardcore 311 fan base questions for Peanut, then we'll let you go. Let's say a final 311 concert of all time. What song do you open with and what song do you close with?
Oh, God, you're brutal. that's so hard. I don't want to have to think about it. When we did I'll Be Here a While as the last song at 311 Day in Vegas before the world stopped, I thought that was a pretty good fit. We did it in front of a closed curtain too, which was all so symbolic. It was all kind of hardcore. So maybe it was like a little premonition to that day that we do kind of hang up our instruments. But that's so hard to say, you know. I mean, I love the song Color. It's one of two instrumentals that we have. I would love to start or finish any show with that as kind of like a head scratcher. They did that to us kind of thing, which, you know, it's just fun for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'll Be Here a While hits really hard. 1-2-3 hits really hard. God, that's so tough. Stealing Happy Hours would be a good way to finish it.
Man, you like a lot of the chill songs to close, right? Not the heavy hitters. You like the mellow ones.
Yeah, you know, if it's saying goodbye, you know, if it's
fair,
lifting your hat off your head and faking a smile, as you're taking your last stage exit. Yeah, I would want it to be something emotional because, you know, it's going to be. So you might as well, you know, own that kind of that weight that you're going to be carrying around. So, yeah, it would be like that. You know, start with something hard, like, you know, start with something hard and popular, like Come Original, as far as, like, you know, here's who we are.
Yeah.
And that's my wife calling. I'll call it back.
Thanks.
Yeah, like, you know, this is who we are, this is who we were, this is how I want you to remember us. And then the last song is going to be like, yes, it's okay to just cry your eyes out.
Right.
Do it like that.
I guess I can end on this. How much do I have to pay you to pick the set list for Sunday? If I donate like $90 billion to a charity, can I do the set list on Sunday in St. Cloud?
$90 billion is our going rate.
I'll end on this. This is the coolest thing about being a fan as long as I have been. Again, I know when I go to a 311 show, I know exactly what I'm going to get. I know I'm going to have a ton of fun. It's going to be, you know, 20 to 25 songs that kick ass. I get that. But, man, I am so pumped for Red Rocks next month because I have two daughters. One's about to turn 16 and one is 7. And this will be the first show for both of them. And, you know, they know you guys through me, of course, but they don't, like, know the deep cuts. They know the hits. So I'm just so pumped to watch a show through their eyes for the first time because they don't know what they're in for. They have no idea how awesome Red Rocks is, number one. So they're not ready for that experience. But this may be the most excited I've ever been to see you guys just because I get to see my daughter's reaction to you guys in October.
That's what it's all about. A couple of years ago, I guess Clay, my younger son, and my wife didn't want to come out to the show in New Hampshire because it was a drive back and forth, and they were in the city. We were all in the city, but Falcon was super excited about going. So we hung out all day at the gig, and he plugged things in, and he like pulled chain and played with the light rig and you know, just helped everything. And then at catering, one of the locals like taught him how to New Hampshire style open up a lobster, of which there was a few dozen in this like rowboat full of ice and shellfish. And it's an experience that I'll never, ever forget because, you know, he wanted to hang out with me and I got to kind of see how cool touring can be, especially at this one gig in New Hampshire where they really take care of you. There's like a backstage pool and basketball and bikes, and it's like a little resort for the touring entertainment people. So it was like the perfect place for fucking to come. And I know we'll be talking about that forever. So, you know, I totally know what you mean. And, couldn't miss them more. And, yeah, cherish those moments with your kids, sharing music and, you know, the way that we all kind of see it in a slightly different way, even though we're going through the same experience at the same time, is one of the reasons why it's so important.
Does he play bass?
He's really into the piano now.
Oh, all right.
He's playing piano. Yeah, playing piano for like 30, 40 minutes a day, and kicking ass.
Not bad. Pretty cool. Peanut, thanks for the time, man. Super pumped to see you on Sunday. Super pumped to see you in Red Rocks next month. And honestly, whenever that new music is coming out, I know obviously the fan base will be behind it. I can't wait to hear the new album, whenever the new album emerges, whenever that is. Thanks for the time, man.
I mean, just with Voyager coming out in 2019, it seems like it's okay to wait a little bit, especially since everything is kind of put on hold. And
sure,
us being an older band, we want to make sure that everything has a lot of heft and weight to it, and it's you know, whatever, the right song for the right time.
You
but until
him,
then, we'll tour and tour and tour.
Well, I will be there. Thanks, Peanut. Appreciate the time, man.
Cool. Yeah, hell yeah, Corey. Have a great day.
See you.
See you soon.